Hi, I'm Jamie Ananda McConaughey. Welcome to the Tantric Life podcast, where we explore all things Tantra as a way of living a balanced life, integrating health, sex, love, and spirituality for deeper inner peace. Hello and welcome, divine friend, to another episode of the Tantric Life podcast. For today's episode, I've put together a nice summary of what Tantra is and where Tantra comes from. As it is an introduction to Tantra, my intention with this class is to paint a general picture of Tantra without getting bogged down into too much detail. I've tried to find a balance between a scholarly approach using academic sources and historical evidence, whilst also trying to keep it fairly light and easy to digest. The challenge with this task is that Tantra is pretty complex, you know. Its historical origins are very difficult to clarify due to a lack of concrete evidence. And the history and development of Tantra is a really complex subject. I mean, it's actually a huge, sprawling subject. So I've done my best to bring together all the research that I can and present to you a somewhat simplified story of Tantra with the objective of giving you an overall idea of what Tantra is all about. As a disclaimer, this is by no means a complete account of the history of Tantra. I mean, to fully cover this topic, you could seriously study it for years. You know, you could do a PhD in this. And people have, right? So, we'll start off by considering the question, what is Tantra? Of course, it's not easy to give a simple answer to this question. Tantra is a vast, fluid subject which shifts its definition as you grow in your own consciousness. Today, you may believe Tantra to be one thing, but tomorrow, you may change the way you understand it. Trying to define Tantra is like trying to hold smoke in your hands. This ethereal, mercurial quality is perhaps what makes Tantra such a powerful path. You know, it's been adopted and adapted throughout the ages by countless spiritual aspirants of different backgrounds. The word Tantra itself is a Sanskrit word, and it has several different translations. Modern-day Tantra teachers commonly translate it as technique, technology, the loom which weaves, to expand and liberate. These are some of the typical definitions you'll most likely hear, and they're very popular in today's tantric circles. But interestingly, these translations did not come from the original tantra teachings. They're actually found in other texts, such as the Vedas, which are mostly non-tantric. According to the Sanskrit scholar and tantra practitioner Christopher Wallace, in the context of tantric teachings, the word tantra has as its Sanskrit roots tan, which meant the spreading of wisdom, and from the other root, tra, which saves us from suffering. So we could say that a tantric translation of the word is the spreading of wisdom which saves us from suffering. However, I don't think we should discard those other translations when we're trying to understand Tantra. Although those first definitions I mentioned are not strictly speaking from the Tantric texts, they are still very much in line with the spirit of Tantra. So now we get to this point in the discussion already where it becomes apparent that you as an individual can decide for yourself how you want to define the word Tantra. And this is really the nature of Tantra. It's very much a personal thing. how you relate to it, how you understand it. So we have quite a few concepts to choose from about defining Tantra, each of them being quite valid in their own way. For myself personally, I like to get an overall sense from all of these translations, and the definition which I go with is that the word Tantra could be loosely understood to mean the weaving together of wisdom in order to expand and liberate. Another important thing to understand about the word Tantra is that it also refers to a text, I mean generally texts, which contain tantric teachings. So we often talk of the tantras and tantric teachings coming from the tantras, that is, from the original tantric texts. As explained by the tantric guru, Ramakanta, who lived around 1,000 years ago, he said, "A tantra is a divinely revealed body of teachings, explaining what is necessary and what is a hindrance in the practice of the worship of God. These teachings are given to those qualified to pursue both the higher and the lower aims of human existence." Here, Ramakanta is using the word Tantra in the context of both the higher and the lower aims of human existence. What I believe he's referring to is that the teachings of Tantra can be applied for the higher goals of aspiring towards liberation and enlightenment, and can also be applied to the lower goals of fulfilling our more human aspirations in this material world. So to give you even more of a feel for what Tantra is, check out these definitions and explanations as quoted from several different modern day teachers. So we have Osho, who says that Tantra is primarily about uniting love, spirituality, and sexuality with awareness. Margot Anand says, "Tantra relaxes the body, opens the heart, and brings the mind into clear focus." Frederick Lentz explains that Tantra is for someone who practices all paths, because all paths encompass Tantra. Daniel Odia says, "The tantric way is open to all the richness of human nature, which it accepts without a single restriction. It is probably the only spiritual path that excludes nothing and no one." Sadhguru describes Tantra as, "Unlike sexuality, which tends to find release at the lower end of the energy system, Tantra is about building our energies to the fountainhead of the uppermost dimension of the energy system." And for Lama Yeshe, "Tantra teaches that everything we need in order to be complete is within us right at this very moment. It is simply a matter of being able to recognize it." In short, Tantra is a system of training and a path of yoga which integrates every aspect of human experience. It uses the body, the senses, the emotions, the heart, and the mind to gradually awaken to the fact that we are right now perfectly divine consciousness. Oh, and by the way, if I can just briefly interrupt the conversation, just to let you know that if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can reach me at thetantriclife.com or on Facebook, The Tantric Life. I'd love to hear from you. And just to mention the project I'm working on, I've developed an online dating site for Tantra. It's called utantra.com. It's an online community for Tantra dating, connections, and events. It's a safe and private and respectful space where you can find and connect with others who share your interest in Tantra. And I have a special offer at the moment where you can get 6 months premium subscription for free. So go over to utantra.com. That's yutantra.com. Okay, thank you. Now let's get back to the topic. Okay, so If we want to deepen our understanding of what Tantra really is, it's helpful to know something about the history and the origin of Tantra. What are the origins of Tantra? How did it come about? Well, the origins of the Tantric traditions are something of an enigma. This is because there just isn't much physical evidence from the very early history. As the historian Kamalakar Mishra says, "The history of Tantra lies in deep obscurity." We know that the word Tantra first appears in a non-Tantric context in the Vedas. The earliest use of the word is in the Rig Veda, dating to somewhere between 1700 BCE to 1100 BCE. In those early poems of the Rig Veda, the word is usually translated as meaning the loom that weaves. This was not really a Tantric use of the word, since the Vedas are not Tantric texts. However, as we have seen already, that translation of the word does fit with the general spirit of Tantra. Tantra, as a distinct tradition, doesn't appear in the historical record until somewhere around the year 500 CE. The earliest known physical document with the word Tantra in it is a stone inscription dating from the year 423, found near the town of Gagadhar in Rajasthan, India. The inscription reads, "For the sake of religious merit, Mayurakshaka, the counselor to the king, caused to be built this Dakini field awesome abode of the divine mothers, who utter deep, tremendous cries, and whose treasure, the waters, burst forth with the mighty wind produced by their tantras." Scholars are still debating whether the word tantras here refers to religious rituals or stringed instruments, which is another of its translations. Some scholars propose that this text could be an example of a shlista sentence. A shlista is a sentence with two layers of meaning superimposed on some of the words. In this case, the translation could therefore refer to both ritual and musical instruments. In any case, the first actual tantra to have survived down to today appeared about 75 years later. Known as the Nishvasa Tattva Samhita, this tantric text was composed over several generations between the years 500 CE to 625 CE, and later was committed to writing on a 9th century palm leaf, which was found by archaeologists in Nepal. In that text, we have the very first known teachings on tantric yoga. And I'll read to you now, well, I'll chant actually to you now, the opening verse. And this is literally the earliest written words from tantric teachings. Shivam sarvagatam vidhi nama rupa vivarjitam chinmatraha parusaschaiva sivo vyapya vyavasthitaha Vasayat samarasaschaham shivena sahasam yotaha evam samaraso bhutva kakachate shivam avyayam. And the translation into English: "Know that Shiva is everywhere, without name or form. And Shiva is the soul which is pure awareness. It abides, pervading all. One should cultivate this awareness. I am connected with Shiva. I am the one taste. Having become the one taste, one attains imperishable Shiva." Isn't that awesome? Chanting this, the earliest written words we have from tantric teachings, and meditating on this idea that you're one with Shiva, pretty powerful stuff. So we know for sure that Tantra as a system of spiritual practice was definitely being taught from at least the year 500 in northwestern India. We don't have any tantric texts going back earlier than this. However, it's very possible that Tantra may have existed long before, from the time of the Vedas, or even before the Vedas. Some scholars actually do think this. For example, Kamalakar Mishra, the former professor of philosophy at Banaras Hindu University in India, he points out that almost all the traditions in ancient India existed first in oral form and were handed down from guru to disciple or from generation to generation by word of mouth. So it's reasonable to believe that Tantra could well have existed as an oral tradition from the time of the Vedas or even earlier, and perhaps was only written down after the time of the Vedas. At this point, it's more accurate for us to use the term proto-tantra. Proto means an early or original version that no longer exists. Although we don't have any concrete evidence of fully developed tantric traditions in the distant past, historians generally agree that tantra was clearly influenced by earlier Indian traditions and practices. Whilst some of those traditions were likely proto-tantric, one of the most obvious influences on the development of Tantra was that of the Vedas themselves. The scholar David Gray talks about this in his 2016 publication in the Oxford Research Encyclopedia. The Hinduism of the Vedas of that early period featured the somewhat elitist caste of the Brahmins, who were the only ones permitted to perform the ceremonial worship in the temples. The rituals and practices of the Vedas involved elaborate and time-consuming processes, which mostly were not accessible to the common people and marginalized much of the population, such as certain castes and also women. In addition, practitioners of Vedic traditions would often be required to follow strict rules about eating and drinking and sex. Tantra, on the other hand, teaches that spiritual liberation can be achieved through the embodiment of human experience, from enjoying things like food and drinking, and recognizing the sacredness in day-to-day material things. It doesn't advocate the repression of the natural human's instincts and sexual urges. In the performing of rituals and worship, there was no restriction of caste, and women played just as an important role as men. So, seen in this way, it seems very likely that alternative traditions to the Vedas became more and more popular. The Indian scholar Banerjee, in his book A Companion to Tantra, points out that the Vedic division of society by castes and social classes, it must have fostered like an animosity, you know, resulting in people turning away from the Vedas and turning towards those alternative traditions that didn't discriminate against the castes or class, and which were more accessible, more inclusive for the common people. Tantra we know today has many features that are contrary to the teachings of the Vedas, and also features which are not found in the Vedic traditions. So it's reasonable to believe that Tantra could have developed from those alternative proto-tantric traditions that were prevalent during that time. And there's evidence of numerous ancient religious traditions in India dating back thousands of years. In the oldest of the Vedas, we see references to shamanic-like ascetics, such as those mentioned in the Wild Muni hymn of the Rig Veda, probably dating from about the beginning of the first millennium BCE. In this hymn, the Munis, or seers as they're called, are described as having ecstatic, altered states of consciousness, and also the magical ability to fly on the wind. So we know from the early Vedas that there were these sort of shamanic, ascetic kind of hermits and mystics around in India in that era. In the book, The Roots of Tantra, historian David Lorenzen tells us that many of these ancient Indian ascetics organized themselves into sects that were very tantra-like, being shamanic and countercultural and sort of opposed to the mainstream, and also very secretive. But we can go back even further in time. According to historian M.C. Joshi, some aspects of Tantra have roots going back even to prehistoric times. A part of Tantra that has the divine feminine as its focus, known as Shakta Tantra, could possibly be traced back as far as the Upper Paleolithic period in India. We're talking now about 20,000 years ago, a time when humans were still hunter-gatherers. Archaeologists have found mother goddess figurines carved from bone, dating back astonishingly to somewhere between the year 23,000 BCE and 17,000 BCE. Also from this period are colourful stones marked with triangles. Some scholars propose that these stones are related to primitive goddess worship and may be early examples of the later tantric use of yantras. Yantras are sacred diagrams in which triangles are used to symbolize fertility and masculine and feminine polarities. Tantra today still uses yantras in meditation and rituals, and they often have upward-pointing triangles to represent Shiva and the divine masculine, and the downward-pointing triangles to represent Shakti, or the divine feminine. Well, we cannot be 100% certain that that's where the tantric yantras have come from, but it does seem pretty amazing that people were doing something with triangles painted on stones up to 20,000 years ago. To me, it really shows that there's something powerful and timeless about the triangular forms of the yantras that we see in Tantra today. Many other early mother goddess artifacts have been found, with dates ranging from the Upper Paleolithic through to the time of the Vedas. Some of these could also be related to tantric mythology and symbolism. For example, a tiny clay figurine of a headless goddess dating from between 1300 BCE to 1000 BCE was found inside a small container buried under a house in Maharashtra in western India. This headless form of the goddess is strikingly similar to the medieval form of the tantric goddess known as Chinnamasta Devi. Chinnamasta Devi is a tantric goddess rich in symbolism, representing sexual virility as well as mastery over sexual energy, and at the same time symbolizing death and destruction, immortality and rebirth. So we're starting to get this picture now of Tantra possibly developing from very early, almost prehistoric, primitive, shamanic, pre-Vedic traditions that seem to have been prevalent in ancient India, and then gradually becoming a popular alternative to the mainstream Vedic traditions of that period. Okay, so we're going to take a break here as it's quite a big topic. So thank you very much for listening today, and we'll continue the class in the next episode, which is coming out very soon. Namaste. Bless you.